Recording. All right. Hello and welcome to Customer Service Basics. My name is Kim Sherman Labrum and I work for the Idaho Small Business Development Center based in Boise, Idaho. I am currently a business consultant, so I work with small businesses on a variety of issues, most specifically their online needs and social media, website, that kind of thing. But I have been in customer service pretty much my entire working life. I started off at the SBDC back in 1998 as the customer service first point of contact administrative assistant. And I've worked my way up from there. Prior to that, I did a lot of entry-level retail jobs. And I cut my teeth at a place called Payless Drugstore. Some people might still remember Payless Drugstore. They've been gone for a very long time. But if you remember them, they were known for their customer service. So my background is delivering customer service. Also, I've taught this class a number of times. We have a lot of call for it, people asking for information. And we used to have some really great trainers in the area, and they've since moved away, and so I decided to take up the mantle, and that is why I am presenting today. So with that, my introductions, I'm going to go ahead and share my screen with you so that you can look at the same thing that I'm looking at. So that's the customer service basics. That's the name of our presentation today. And feel free to ask questions. I can see you and I should be able to hear you. But if I just keep talking, get my attention, that's fine too. So I wanted to thank some of our sponsors who were kind enough to help us out. This in particular is for Brundage, obviously. So I want to thank them for giving us the opportunity to kind of show what we've got, strut our stuff, that type of thing. Andrew Metzner, I hope I have pronounced that right. I'm sure I haven't. From Valley County Economic Development Council, Katie Bennett from the Small Business Administration, and St. Luke's for hosting us and allowing us to use their technology. I think that's pretty fantastic, and it's a nice resource so that we can do this more frequently if I don't have to travel, or other members of our staff with things that they know and could train on, we can deliver it virtually this way. We're hoping that this is a good solution to help reach out to your area and deliver things to you so that you don't have to come here in winter travel weather. And not that it's a bad thing to have to go to McCall. I love going to McCall, but scheduling and funding sometimes limits that a little bit. So thank you all. So to begin with, we have all had really great customer service experiences, and we've all had really, really bad customer service experiences. And I'm sure we can all talk about for days and days and days about bad customer service. And the old chestnut that one dissatisfied customer can potentially communicate to hundreds of people their dissatisfaction is very true. But going the other way, and I want to keep this on a positive note, is a happy customer can also communicate far and wide. And even more so in today's electronic age, where if somebody posts on Facebook about something that happened or they need a recommendation, all of their friends can pop in there and start talking and telling them about their experiences. So I think I'll start with my positive experience. Next time you're down here in the Boise area and you need someplace to eat, Tango's Empanadas is over on Orchard. Has anybody eaten there?
I have.
Okay. They're great. So the food's fantastic, right? I mean, there's nothing bad to be said about anything that they serve. But more than anything are the two people featured right here. Luis and Monica are the owners. They are genuinely the nicest people I think I've ever met in my life. They truly love what they do. They make you feel welcome the minute you walk in the door, whether or not they've ever seen you before or you're in there regularly. They greet you like a long-lost relative. You know, I often joke that it's like going home and eating without the guilt. They come in, they give me a hug, they feed me, and they send me on my way, right? So this is the customer service experience that I love. Okay. Why? Because they make me feel like I'm part of the family. They truly appreciate my business, and it's obvious that they're happy to be there and they love what they do. There's nothing about anything in their job that's bad. Now, is there bad things in their job? I'm sure there are. I'm sure cleaning out the grease vats and doing things like that are horrible. But I never hear it from them. And I've known them since they opened the business 10 years ago. And so that's my best customer service experience. I absolutely adore these folks. And it's because of how they make me feel. Okay. And so I want you to think about your best customer service experiences. And why are they the best customer service experiences? Is it because they treat you like family? Is it because they went above and beyond? Is it because they give you an extra bagel in the morning with your coffee? I mean, what is it that makes you that customer service so wonderful? Okay. And think about how you can use that to become a better deliverer of customer service. Because we all are customer service deliverers. Even if you are not on the front lines answering phones or greeting people as they come in the door, you still deliver customer service in one form or another. And we will actually talk about that here in just a moment. But first and foremost, you know, you have to remember that you are the company and the company is you. I don't care if you work for a huge corporation with thousands of employees or if you work for a company with 3 employees. It doesn't matter. Who that customer comes face to face with is you, and to them, you represent that company first and foremost. So they don't know that there's, you know, another level of management. They don't know that there's 300 other employees. They know it's you. So you have to remember that when you're dealing with your customers, is that to them, you are the end all be all of that company. You are the impression. You are the person that is hopefully going to fix their problems for them and make them come back. So, as the face of the company, in whatever capacity that takes, all the interactions that you take count, right? So in person, when you talk to people, smiling at them, greeting them when they walk in the door, email. Whenever you're emailing somebody, take into consideration grammar, punctuation, use of the shift key, either all the time or not at all. These things all convey something about your company and about you. So take the time to run spell check to make sure that you're using your shift key properly, that the grammar is correct. Make sure that anything that you put in an email, you don't want to see published as a headline somewhere, okay? Because it is in print and therefore it could go anywhere it needs to be. So be careful what you put on your emails. It is a form of communication that represents the company. Your telephone. When you answer the phone, the old chestnut that says answer the phone with a smile because people can tell, it's true. So if you answer the phone with a smile, you sound welcoming. People feel like they can talk to you. If you pick up the phone and go, what? Obviously, you're not very into helping them. And so that's not good beginner telephone etiquette. Other thing, the tone of voice that you use. If you normally have a monotone voice, think about how that sounds to other people. I have, I tend to scowl a lot myself, and when I'm concentrating. And it took me years to figure out why everybody always thought I was angry or in a bad mood. And I wasn't. I was just concentrating and thinking about something. And it took doing video conferences to realize that whenever I'm scowling, I'm actually thinking. So I make a concerted effort to make sure that I'm not scowling at people. And that includes when I'm on the phone, because scowling comes across as well. Learn how to use your phone. If you need to put somebody on hold, please put them on hold. Don't disconnect them. If you need to transfer them, again, learn how to use your phone. Transfer them quickly and don't disconnect them. Don't make them call back. There's nothing more annoying than that. If you have to respond to voicemail or make callbacks, then make sure that you do it promptly. If the company that you work for has a specific time frame, like all voicemails must be answered within 48 hours, then obviously that's the rule you go by. But if they don't, then you should make a rule. My personal rule is with voicemail, all of them are responded to within 24 hours. And so that way, even people that I, you know, don't want to talk to, they get a phone call back within 24 hours. My email is a little looser, but it's still 48 hours. Unless I'm on vacation or something, but then I leave a notification. Sorry, my throat seems to be a little bit dry today. Other thing that you need to realize is your online activities are also part of the company as well. And I say that because a lot of your social media profiles list where you work. And so therefore, people will judge your company by your actions. So if you are out doing things that perhaps are not along with a company line, then you should be careful how you're posting on social media, the things that you're saying. Specifically, you know, myself, I do a lot of consulting on social media, and I found that my clients were going and checking out my social media profiles. So what did I do? I cleaned up my language. I stopped posting political things. And now when you go look at my profile, it's pretty much a lot of kittens and funny things. But I try to make sure, because as the SBDC social media person, I need to make sure that there's nothing that is going to offend our clients specifically. So I really try to be cognizant of what I'm putting out there and who the audience is. And you, as the face of your company, have to remember that as well. And you never know when a company is going to suddenly have a social media policy that is going to suddenly limit what you're going to do or potentially cost you a job. It's happened over and over and over again. And there's a lot of law that is out there about it right at the moment, but it's just best to keep things that are not along with your company standards offline or filter to a certain audience. Okay. All right. So we really have two kinds of customers. So the first kind that we have are external. So that's the general public. Somebody walks in off the street and they're ready to buy your service or your product, whatever it is that you do. That's fantastic. How they got there, that's wonderful. But we also have another kind of customer, and that's an internal customer. Those are your coworkers, the people that you deal with. And depending on the size of your company, it could be 3 people, it could be 3,000 people. So, but you have to maintain good relationships and good service. So the things that I'm going to be talking about after this slide are relevant to both customer segments. So just remember, when you growl at the person first thing in the morning because you haven't had your coffee, that may be the person who's fixing your vacation hours. Okay? Okay. So I'm going to go into things about determining the service. Okay? So what is it that your customer wants? I mean, generally, it's pretty easy to figure out when somebody walks in the door and you sell cookies that they're probably going to want to buy cookies, correct? Okay, cool. And you have cookies for sale. If you sell cookies and they come in the door and they're looking for shoes, that could be a little bit of a problem because you can't honestly help them with that because you don't sell shoes. However, you could direct them to someplace that does sell shoes. So, you know, listening to what it is that your customer wants, what their needs are, what their expectations are, that's really, really important. In addition to that, knowing about your organization and your company, how it works, how all the parts and pieces work together. Now, if you work for a small company with just three people, it's pretty easy to know, well, if I don't do it, Bob or Joan does, right? But if you work for someplace like Brundage or St. Luke's, or in my case, Boise State, you know, I have to know who pays the bills. I have to know who manages the money. I have to know who to go to talk to about inputting hours for my paycheck. Okay, so knowing or the organization and everything that goes into it is going to help you provide better customer service, because eventually somebody's going to ask you something and you won't be able to provide it or fix it for them. But knowing what your company does will be able to help you get them to the person who can actually help them. And that's a part of customer service as well. You know, I don't know everything there is to know about social media, but I know a lot of people who know things, and what I don't know, I can find out. So that is where I spend my time, is sometimes just being a resource of the information, the repository. So what you want to really avoid is, it's not my department. Okay. I have a funny story. I used to work for a very large retailer that I won't mention. It wasn't Payless Drugstore. It's a different retailer. And I remember literally sitting in the break room with other employees complaining because customers had stopped us from doing our jobs, which was stocking shelves and stuff as well. But forgetting that if the customers aren't in the store, I don't really have a job. But I just remember being so incensed by customers asking me to do my job. But that was the culture of that particular retailer. So things have changed a great deal, by the way, in that retailer, but I'm still not going to sell them down the river and tell you who it is. So, but I do remember saying, oh, that's not my department, and wandering off. Okay. I was about 18 at the time. So I'll cut myself a little slack, but still, it's not good customer service. And so you should never say, it's not my department. What can I do to get you to the right person? Okay. So what are the things that make a difference in customer service? Well, reliability is one. Okay. So when we have reliability, we're talking about what's promised is delivered dependably and accurately. Don't make promises that you can't keep. Okay. What are the common expectations for your industry? So if, you know, for whatever reason, you know, if you happen to be in an industry where turnaround is 24 hours, then that is the common expectation. But you know that you're going to be 48 hours or 72 hours, then you need to communicate that to your customer. And then if that doesn't happen, then you still communicate with them and let them know, I'm sorry, there's been another delay, or explain the situation. Because not communicating is a form of communicating. When you don't talk to your customers when they're expecting to hear from you, that's saying something. It's saying that you don't care. It's saying that you haven't done the work. So make sure that you're in communication with them. It makes all the difference in the world. A phone call, an email, a text, if they're text savvy. However you communicate is fantastic. Just make sure that you do it. Also, you know, what personal promises are you keeping? Did you make to them, and how can you keep them? And also, are they in keeping with the standards of your company? So if you promise 24-hour delivery, but the company says, no, we only deliver once a week, you're making promises on things that you can't possibly deliver on. So make sure that you're in compliance with what your company will allow, but also make sure that if there's a possibility of going above and beyond, that's fine. You know, if you don't, they don't deliver, but you happen to be driving by that customer's place on your way home, and it's not a big deal to drop this off, or even if it is a big deal, what kind of impact does that make when you take the time out of your day to do that? That's going to be a customer for life. Okay. All right. So our next thing is assurance. And this goes back to knowing about things in general. So I talked about, you know, knowing about your organization, knowing about your company, knowing how all the parts and pieces work together. But also beyond that, knowing about the products and services that you sell, okay? Make sure that, you know, you should know about these things, especially if you're supposed to know about them. So if you are the wine expert in your organization, you should know about wine. If somebody comes up and asks you about the best kind of poultry, then perhaps that's the time that you shift them off to the chef and let the chef talk to them about the best kind of poultry, because that's not your area of expertise. But that's knowing your organization and knowing who has that knowledge. Okay. The other thing, listening skills. So make sure that you know how to listen and actively listen. So when I say actively listen, you're making eye contact. You're not fussing with your phone or fiddling with your coat or anything that's seen as a distraction. Okay. Unfortunately, we've kind of gotten to the point where it's acceptable to get on our phones and play with our computers and do everything and not give everybody our full attention. And I think it affects our listening skills. And if you find that that is the case, then one of the best ways to do that is get rid of the distraction, put the phone away, put the computer away, make sure that it's not there. And also make sure that what people are saying to you is what you're hearing. So when somebody states their problem or their request to you, it's a fantastic way to make sure that you know what they're saying is to repeat it back to them. So if they have requested a listing of all the snow runs up at Brundage, you say, did you want a complete listing, a written email, or would you like me to just tell you? Things like that, right? So make sure that your listening skills are on top. Problem solving skills. So if somebody comes to you and says, I can't figure out how to make this boot work, well, if you can help them, fine, but knowing who in your organization, or if your organization doesn't have a who that does that, somebody or somewhere that you can send them to have their problem solved is fantastic, and they will appreciate that and come back to you in the future. Okay. Right. So our next is what we call the tangibles. So tangibles are, you know, what I call the face, I guess. So before, we're talking about the company, so their online reputation, their advertising. What the outside of the building looks like if there's a brick and mortar location. Is the sidewalk swept? Is it well lit? Are things clean? Does it smell good? You know, what is their reputation? So all of these things go together to give your customers an idea of what your reputation and what to expect when they come to you. So when people come in, what is the expectation? Is it clean? Is it well lit? Is it friendly? Are you greeted? So I'm sure we've all been to the retailer that the minute you walk in the door, no matter what the customer service person is doing, they stop what they're doing and they're like, welcome to so-and-so. And you can just tell they hate doing it, but they're required to by corporate. As opposed to when I walk someplace and they warmly greet me, like, hi, how are you doing? Welcome to the store, whatever it is. So however your culture is within your company, but acknowledging your customers in a real way that doesn't sound fake is very welcoming. I guess that's all I need to say about that. When we're talking about during the transactions, you know, what do your materials look like? Are they professional looking? Whatever it is that you're using, is your personal appearance up to snuff? Do you just look like you rolled out of bed and wandered in off the street? Or do you look like you work there? And I'm not saying that everybody has to look like a banker and have their hair cut and everything. Every company has a much different culture and expectation. So you need to be aware of what the expectations are of your company and conform to them. So if your company says, okay, everybody can wear jeans and you consistently show up in pajama pants, that's not acceptable. On the other end, if everybody wears jeans and you always come dressed up in a three-piece suit, that's kind of awkward as well. Okay, so be very aware. If everybody has short hair and you have dreadlocks, it seems very odd. Okay, so be aware, even if your company doesn't have a dress code, your grooming matters, what's on your face, those kinds of things. Your workspace, you know, does it look like a cyclone hit your workspace? Is there paper everywhere and things? That doesn't make people trust you a whole lot if they walk in and it just looks like a tornado has gone through and they are hoping that you can find their order. Okay. Other things, follow-up. Okay. So whatever kind of follow-up is required for your company or your industry, there might not be anything. You know, if you're purely transactional and it's, they bought the item, I gave them their change and their receipt and they walked out the door, you never see them again, you're done. Okay. But that is a very small percentage of business out there. So there's probably some kind of follow-up. And honestly, the follow-up is how we make these customers return to us. And that is what is going to continue business, make business successful, and guarantee that you continue to have a job. So if the follow-up is email, you know, and it's supposed to be done within 48 hours. If it's billing that you're supposed to do every month at the first of the month, make sure that it's done when it's supposed to be done. Whatever the follow-up is, it's timely and it's consistent, okay? And people can depend on it. Okay. So the next thing, empathy. So there's actually two parts to this. So sympathy is identifying and taking on the emotions of your customer. So they're angry, so I'm angry. Obviously, you know, the man's got us down and everything's wrong. So that's an emotional roller coaster because you're identifying with your customer. Now, empathy is a little bit different in that you acknowledge and you affirm that those emotions of that person are valid and they exist, but you don't have to participate in them. So you can kind of set yourself apart a little bit and say things like, I can see that you're angry, or I hear that you are having a problem and I understand, so that they know that you're listening, but you don't have to experience those emotions along with them. In the long run, if you deal with a lot of customers day to day, that's going to save emotional burnout. and ultimately apathy, which leads to bad customer service. So remember, you don't have to be angry for them. They're plenty angry already, right? You just need to help them to the best of your ability. Responsive. So how responsive are you? Do you answer the phone or do you just let it ring and ring and ring and ring and ring and ring and ring? Do you never respond to email? Do you never respond to voicemail? You know, the only time somebody can find you is if they happen to run into you when you're in the store. That's not responsive. Do you set deadlines and don't meet them? Or do you set deadlines and you meet them every time? Or if you don't meet them, you communicate and let people know. This is responsiveness. It's integrity. When you're thinking about your responsiveness, what is your customer's expectations? Okay. And some of this is industry by industry, some of it's community. So the expectations that you find in McCall might be very different than what we find in Boise. And they're certainly different than what we would find in someplace like New York City. Okay. So be aware of these indicators and that, you know, influence our customers' expectations. And, you know, especially in a town like McCall where you get a lot of tourists, you know, you're going to be dealing with the locals who have a much different expectation than the folks who are just coming in for the weekend. So remember that everybody has different expectations. And if you can find out what those are, then you can definitely make determinations on how to help them and give them good customer service. So, and beyond the expectations, what's acceptable? Okay. So, if the expectation is 24 hours, but it's acceptable to wait 48 hours, okay, that's fine. But 72 hours is just flat nothing. Okay. Whatever these things are, you make those determinations based on the industry. So the things that I've just covered make a really nice acronym called RATER. So it's the reliability, assuring, tangibles, empathetic, and responsive. So I just went through all of those items for you. It just as you go forth into the world to deliver customer service, try to remember the RATER and how that is going to inform your customer service in the future. Something I always want to bring up, the customer's always right, right? Okay. We have this beaten into us, I think, from a very young age that the customer's always right. And I think that is very inaccurate. The customer's not always right. This came from, you know, the customer's always right because they have money and they're paying you and so on and so forth. However, sometimes they're not right and sometimes they're inaccurate and sometimes they're out and out trying to be fraudulent. And it's really hard to make those decisions and determinations. So, first and foremost, assume innocence. If somebody comes up to you and they demand that you fix their shoes, but you don't fix shoes, then, you know, don't think that they're out to get you and they just want something for free. Assume innocence until you find out more information. And then also look at this as a teaching opportunity, not just for you, but for them. So when I say that, I mean, you know, it could be that your customer has observed something and they're communicating it to you that you need to know. There's something dangerous someplace. And if you don't take the time to listen to them and determine what they're saying, this is what I mean by a teachable moment. You're not being taught. But it's also an opportunity where you can say, oh, did you know that that's not actually what we do? So if, for instance, as the Small Business Development Center representative, people think that we have grants to start businesses. There's misinformation in the media everywhere. And so I quite frequently get phone calls saying, I want a grant to start my business. Well, that's not what we do. And so I can't just tell people, well, no, you can't have a grant because there's not a grant. There are no grants. But what I do have available is training and mentoring and one-on-one consulting. And so I try to turn it around and let them know that they're misinformed and that the information that they have is wrong, but look at all the benefits that we do have. It may not be what you came here for, but it may be what you really wanted in the first place. So keep that in mind. Assume innocence with your customers. You know, try to be patient with them. They may be laboring under a false bit of information. Saying that, the next thing I want to say is, you know, be very careful that, you know, you don't allow yourself to get into an abusive situation. Just because you are a customer service person doesn't mean that you are a punching bag or a doormat. So if somebody is abusive, and you know how they can be abusive, they yell, they swear at you. Sometimes they're actually physically abusive where they will hit you or something. You know, nobody's paid to take that abuse. So you are not a punching bag. And, you know, this is a situation where you either need to escalate it to a supervisor or just, you know, what are the policies in your HR department? Our organization, if somebody starts swearing at me, I say, thank you, I'm sorry, I don't, I'm just not paid enough to be abused. And when you calm down, you can call me back. And then I hang up the phone. Your HR department may have a different way to look at it. So, but just remember that when somebody starts to yell, when they start to swear at you, that's the beginning of an abusive situation. And don't let yourself get into that. I guess that's all I need to say about that. So finally, that's all I have. So does anybody have any questions or any comments about what we covered?
I actually do, Kim. I appreciate your presentation, and I think those are all very, very high quality points for people to take home.
Okay.
I guess I'm curious. I had a conversation with the chamber today, actually, and they had mentioned how, with a small town like McCall or Cascades, for that matter, or Donnelly, you'll have a lot of folks who come through, and the retail experience or hospitality experience at one restaurant or hotel can sort of impact how, a customer views the broader community. And so I think there's value. I don't know if you can speak to this, but value in having, sort of a broader training that goes outside of the organization even, and having people aware of resources that are available. And, the folks at the chamber even said that, you know, if you don't know what to do or what's fun to do, and particularly in the shoulder season, send them to the chamber, because there's actually a lot to do. Mm-hmm. Just because if you're not doing something after work on that particular day doesn't mean that there's nothing to do. And so I think that gets back to the empathy point that you made. And in smaller towns in particular, I think there's a lot of value in being able to connect with broader community resources.
Absolutely. You know, being aware of something outside of, you know, your little world that you live in is very important. Somebody asks me for something and I'm like, I don't know exactly what that is, but, you know, I've read or I've heard of something, and I know who to call. So, you know, in my case, you know, a lot of times it's the library, or I can Google it, or again, you know, the chamber is a great resource for things like that. Merchant associations, those kinds of things to let everybody know that those things are available.
But
just don't, go to work with your head down and do your job and then, leave and come go home. Because that's, you have to be involved in your community to some point to service the customers in an excellent way.
I think that's especially true for Brundage in a way.
Mm-hmm.
The people come here and you have a ski experience, but you have a community experience beyond the ski experience. I think Brundage is in a way, one of the foremost representatives of McCall. You know, it's historical to us. Skiing is a part of our culture here. Mm-hmm. A lot of people come here. When they say something at Brundage about the snow, best snow in Idaho, and, you know, it's also to say, yeah, and I feel the same way about our community. Because mm-hmm. the community is a big draw to why people repeat to us. I mean, you may come and have a ski experience, but if you don't have a good restaurant experience, you don't have a good hotel experience, you don't have a good traffic experience, you don't know the other things you can do, you might not come back to go skiing again.
Right.
And I think a little bit how we might not come back to our area to go skiing. You may choose to go skiing somewhere else. But I think the added value of that for all of us to add in our community to add value about some of the incredible aspects about McCall, which a lot of people don't realize. And so maybe we should just kind of think about, you know, really what does make this community so special as part of the information we could provide to those places who interact with the public. You know, I'm in the healthcare business, so when people recognize this is the second longest longevity county in America, the people in Valley wow. County, out of 2,300 counties, we live longer here than all of them but one. And you go, well, that's where I'd like to live.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? You know, is it in the water? Is it in the air? And you know, then I, you know, really, I say it's the way we treat each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way we treat people. That's incredible. So anyhow, I think sometimes that's a really good point what Andrew was bringing up. And I always think of Brundage as being so much modeling the experience that people have in McCall, but it's, you know, it takes all of us to make even a great ski experience. I'd say that. And I'm going to write up your points and interpret them for and send them back out to our management team for them to cascade. And so I'll pick on some major points in that. But one point I really want to make, too, is how you check in at work. So when you step on, I always use this example of when I go home after work, the most important 9 seconds in my day is when I walk in my house.
Mm-hmm.
I had a little kid, and the mood and the sense of empathy or the sense of vitality and zest, and instead of walking in and going, let me tell you how bad my day sucked. I don't care about your troubles at school. Listen to this. Oh, you think it's hard being a doctor? Let me tell you how hard it is to be a paper pusher. anyhow, so, you know, you think about, and I sometimes at school, you think when a teacher drives on the school grounds,
mm-hmm.
you have to say, where is my heart? Mm-hmm. My heart is in how much I can impart for every little kid here in this school system. When people come onto our property, I say, check all the rest of it at the door. I mean, leave the rest of it in your car.
Mm-hmm.
When you step on here, it is to remind yourself how much you care and what a privilege it is to help people. And, you know, I think a lot the same way at Brundage. You know, when you drive on and you come to the employee parking lot and you step out of your vehicle and you say to yourself, a measure of excellence for me today is how well, what kind of experience I can create internally and externally.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to really work carefully on my words when I express that back out to our people about when you check onto our property, where's your heart? And thanks for your comments about internal customer, because we are huge about creating a good work experience for our fellow workers.
It makes all the difference in the world. And, you know, you're taking that, and I love that, because, you know, there's some days where, like, I truly do love my job, but there's days where, you know, I was out of training late, or, you know, I just didn't get enough sleep. And so coming into work is just coming into work, you know, we all would rather be millionaires, right? It'd be awesome. But I always take that moment as I approach the door, kind of take a deep breath, and I make sure that there's a pleasant look on my face so that I don't walk in with, you know, thunder clouds all over my face, because the people that I'm going to pass don't need that kind of negative energy. Just because I'm not feeling high energy or super excited doesn't mean I have to, you know, impact their day. And, you know, I just recently, my husband is a high school teacher, and I went over to help out on Saturday night, and luckily got pulled over by a nice police officer because I have a taillight out. and literally right in the parking lot of the school. And so the officer warned me and everything was fine, but I was kind of like, oh, it was horrible, nasty and everything. And I was walking up to the door and I realized, oh, there's a whole bunch of high school students that need to not see me. So I just took two breaths before I walked in the door and just made sure that it was just like it didn't happen, because that's not the right place for that. You just have to realize that, you know, it doesn't take very much to affect somebody else's day. A pleasant smile, a comment, you know, hey, I really like your shoes. And when they're legitimate comments, compliments, that makes a big difference as well. I would be happy to share my PowerPoint presentation with you if that would help you put together the notes that you were going to put out, if you'd like.
That'd be great.
Okay. I'll be happy to send that over. I'll send it to Andrew and he can, I'm sure I have all of your emails, but I'll let Andrew send it out. And then, yeah. And if you think of anything that you think I should add to this for the future, we can certainly do that. And I would be happy to do so. And if we want to do this again, or if you just want to use the recording, that I think I will go ahead and stop right now.